where the mayor belongs, which is the APC party. But what has happened is that before the ballots were counted, they announced winner of the presidency. So that has been stated by local observers, that has been stated by national and international observers, that this election was flawed. The counting was flawed. This is the reason for the massive demonstrations outside of Sierra Leone, because Sierra Leoneans in Sierra Leone are not allowed to protest.
So what is the significance of this protest? What are you asking the international community to do in this instance? Because the president was declared winner by the Electoral Commission of Sierra Leone, or ECL. There are rules by which you can go to the court and seek redress if you did not like the outcome of the vote. So what are you looking for?
Well, the protest internationally, and to address that part about redress in the court is also state captured. So therefore, APC has lost every political case in the court. So that's why the protest is internationally to deal with our international partners who provide some form of international funds. But what we're looking at is what's called specific smart sanctions. Specific smart sanctions that would not affect the citizens, the people of Sierra Leone, daily life. Specific smart sanction as travel ban on the government officials of Sierra Leone who have rigged this election, who have stole the rights of the people. Specific smart sanctions on those election body commissioners, travel ban on them and their families. So it'd be specific and smart sanctions. You're only targeting those officials who have stole the rights of the people, who are destroying democracy. So the sanctions that we're seeking would be specific and what we call smart sanctions.
Dr. Shaw Sawyer is the coordinator of the Sierra Leonean American Political Affairs Committee. He spoke with me from here in Washington. Liberia, a former student leader is calling on the international community to pressure authorities to investigate human violations in the country. Christopher Walter Cecilu Sivili was attacked last year by thugs during a protest against the government on the country's Independence Day near the U.S. Embassy. He said he had to go into exile because he fears for his life. He is now calling for an independent investigation and prosecution of those responsible for violating his human rights. Sivili says politically related violence could increase leading up to the coming elections if those responsible for violence are not prosecuted. His remarks come after opposition and student groups expressed concern that the police often use excessive force to crack down on their protests, an accusation the police deny. The police say they only enforce law and order and warn citizens not to break the law. For more on his call for the investigation and prosecution of human rights abusers, I reach Christopher Walter Cecilu Sivili.
As a former student leader of the University of Liberia and a victim of torture within the country, I'm using this medium and this opportunity to call on the international community to look at the human rights situations within the country. Because currently within the country, there has been a lot of human rights violations. That today, there has been no reports coming from organizations that are responsible to create such a report. But from all indications, the human rights violation within the country is not unique for our country. And so I think it's very much necessary for the international community to look at the level of human rights violations that has taken place within the country. It is so much saddening for our country, and I think it is the responsibility of the human rights institutions within the international community to ensure that they look at the situation in Liberia currently.
Christopher, what do you say to supporters of the administration who say that the human rights situation in the country is all right and that some of these issues that you are talking about is a figment of your own imagination and that you have never experienced any human rights violation?
The human rights violation within the country has been highlighted by the U.S. Embassy near Moldova. And if you read the report of the U.S. Embassy near Moldova of last year regarding human rights violation, you will understand that it is very much on the coming within the country, because there are a lot of judicial secret killing within the country that has been highlighted by the U.S. Embassy near Moldova. So my argument when it comes to human rights issues within the country, I'm not just speaking because I feel speaking. It is something that is a very fact. And those who are supporting the government understand that there has been a lot of human rights violations within the country. And as a former student leader and also a victim of human rights violations, I was stripped, I was tortured, I was humiliated, I was brutalized by supporters of the government on July 26th of last year. And up to this time, there has been no report even coming from the justice system when it comes to prosecuting those who were found guilty within that matter. And it is unfortunate for that to happen within the country. That is why, as a young man, I'm calling on the international community, looking at all of the indicators within the country when it comes to human rights violation. It is important for them to ensure that they look at the human rights issue within the country.
Some of the supporters of the government have dismissed demands by civil society groups for an independent investigation into some of these alleged human rights violations, and that a lot of student activists like you are trying to create tension in the country, are trying to create disaffection. You break the law at will, and those who break the law must be made to face the full rigors of the law, irrespective of their societal status.
Let me take my situation into consideration. At the University of Liberia, what we did on the last 26, it was something that was in conformance with the law. We did not violate the 1986 constitution that talks about peaceful assembly. So from all indications, those are government supporters who continue to say that the students or the young people are responsible to create chaos within the country. I think that they are violating the democratic rights and the constitutional rights of the young people within the country. The law is very much clear that it is our duty to peacefully assemble anytime we wish for us to do so, in order for us to extend our dissatisfaction to the national government. So on the last committee, that's my situation, we are calling on the government to look into the report coming from the Labour Anti-Corruption Commission that has indicted the current Minister of Agriculture. And we're also calling on the government to look at the situation at LEGIC. You know, LEGIC is the entity that is responsible to organize the census within the country. And there are a lot of scandals at LEGIC. So on that day, we are calling on the government to look into the corruption scandal at LEGIC. But out of the sudden, folks who are addicted to drugs, they release them to unleash them on us in the name of counter-protest.
Christopher Walter Sisulu Sivili is a Liberian human rights activist and a former student leader. He spoke with me from an undisclosed location. Listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, In Zambia, the main opposition party, Patriotic Front, or PF, has announced plans to hold its convention in October. This will pave the way to elect party leaders. Analysts say since losing the presidential race about 21 months ago, the PF has failed to renew its leadership. The analysts say former President Edgar Lungu, who was defeated by current President Hakainde Hichilema, may step down and hand over the reins of the party to a new leader. For the latest development about the opposition party's plans for the coming convention, I reach Raphael Nakachinda. He is the Patriotic Front member of the Central Committee for Information and Publicity.
At the last Central Committee meeting that was held, we did deliberate and come up with two dates. Remember, we had been working on a legislative conference that is going to adopt the draft constitution that has been generated through the submissions of members across the country, as well as other stakeholders. And it's upon having that legislative conference that a new constitution will be submitted to the authorities, in this case, Registrar of Society. And then we have also set a tentative date of 28th of October for the elective conference. So that is the position. Though as we speak now, we are in a neck meeting or National Executive Committee meeting, arising from the fact that there are two national events that are taking place on the same date we had proposed for the legislative conference, which is the 29th of July. So we're just deliberating to look at whether or not that will jeopardize the participation and the participation of members from the provinces where those events are taking place.
Why did it take so long a time for this decision to be made for the convention? Because at a point, a member of the party had taken this matter to court to force the party to hold its convention.
I can state to you that those legal matters that went before that one of the members took to court were equally a hindrance, because there was an injunction obtained. There is a question of the legality of or legitimacy of the Central Committee, including the Vice President, who in this case was acting President, as well as the Deputy Secretary General, who was acting as Secretary General. So we have those matters before court, but from the advice that was given by our legal chairman was that we still could conduct business at Central Committee and set dates. But Central Committee further gave a mandate to the chairman legal to seek legal opinions from legal practitioners, but under the Law Association of Zambia, to be able to give us a legal opinion, or maybe two, three other legal opinion that would advise on whether or not we could proceed with the dates we have set, in view of the matters that are in court and other internal administrative matters of the delegates and so on, because the delay has been on the desire by the leadership of the party to make sure that the process to electing a president is not faulty. One, we also respond to the demands by the general public to rebrand the party. And the rebranding starts with a structure arrangement of the party, and which can only be adjusted by amending our constitution.
What makes of the legal case that a member went to court forcing the party to hold its convention? What happens to it now?
Well, the arguments of the member in that particular case you're citing, now that the party has said this is the date, if he was genuinely seeking that the party should hold the conference, it means that that exercise in court is just academic, and therefore he should just come and join the bandwagon so that he also can exercise his rights and freedoms at the conference. For now, the party is determined that none of these issues hold us to ransom. We have a very solid legal team that is defending us in court, defending the party in court, and those matters will be resolved.
Some people are saying that since the party lost power a little over 21 months ago, The party appears to be in disarray. There's no unity. Some members are shying away. Others are trying to defect. Some have resigned from the party and all that.
When you look at the pattern, the way the members of, for example, UNIP were defecting and moving to the new political party, just like the MMD are moving to Patriotic Front, this time around, there hasn't been that, you know, exodus of members that would worry anybody. Of course, you know, the politics are dynamic, and political parties sometimes and members are a bit fluid. We have had one or two defections, but not one that would worry the organization.
Rafael Nakachinda is a member of the PF Central Committee for Information and Publicity. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka.
Has social media improved your life, or is it more of a distraction? We'd love to hear from you. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code plus one, then 202-258-3076. The number again, plus one, 202-258-3076. Can't wait to hear from you.
He is an avowed Ugandan government critic and human rights activist who escaped into exile after alleging torture while in jail. Kakwenza Rukirabashaija is out with a new book entitled The Savage Avenger. And in an interview with VOA, Kakwenza says, quote, "When you torture a writer, he bleeds ink." Kakwenza was charged with offensive communications after writing a critical book about Muhoozi Kainerugaba, the son of President Yoweri Museveni. The government accused him of using his Twitter account to offend both the president and his son. He was subsequently arrested and charged. Kakwenza won the Pen Pinter Prize International Writer of Courage Award in 2021. In an interview with me, Kakwenza says he plans to return home to continue with his activism in an effort to make Uganda a better place for all citizens.
You know, when you torture a writer, he breathes ink. So I was tortured by the savages who are referred to by the president as his avengers. So that is the reason why I came up with that title, The Savage Avenger, because the son of the president is the one who tortured me. So I came up with that title.
You know, but some of your critics are saying that he was nowhere near that, and that you were not even tortured, and that some of the scars on your body you self-inflicted to attract international attention, to make the government look bad, President Museveni to look bad, just so you can go into exile and thrive there, so to speak. How do you respond to that?
So before I was arrested, I was very healthy. I didn't have any scar on my body. And I was released or smuggled into court when I was almost, I think I was half dead. I can't say that I was living. I was half dead, I was living. And my entire body was swollen. The body was actually oozing pus. The legs were all swollen, like I had elephantiasis. And when I raised the issue before court, the magistrate, with impunity, whittled it down and instead directed the prisons to give a report. And indeed, when I arrived in prison, they took pictures of my shredded body, and, you know, everything was, you know, it looked so disgusting. And they gave a report that indeed the guy was tortured. And I healed when I was in prison. By the time I came out of Chitalia and then kidnapped again from the gate, at least the shredded body had, the scars were a bit dried, and except the ankles and other joints, they were still swollen. So the prison report is there. I was taken into prison when I was tortured, from SFC military barracks to court, then to prison. I was tortured. Before I was arrested or kidnapped, I was very okay. So until people saw me like a caricature of my former self when I was released from their, you know, custody. That is when my lawyer, actually, you saw my lawyer crying on the television saying that I've seen victims of torture, but I've never seen the kind like Kakwenza's torture.
What were you accused of?
Disturbing. In court, they charged me with disturbing the peace of the president.
Talking about Better Uganda, some people are saying that you are fighting, or you were fighting against the Better Uganda that they have now, and that you are undermining the country's territorial integrity, and that you are an agent of either a neighboring country or the West, sowing discord among the people.
So, who was saying that?
Your critics? Some officials of the government said so?
What should they say? Because they are comfortable eating, and it is a shameful solidarity with the NRM regime, whereas they are glorifying all the violence, glorifying corruption, glorifying all the barbarism that is taking place. For us, we are saying no. And however much we say no, we have solidarity with other people who are looking at it in a humanity perspective. They look at our cause as the main cause. If we say no, there is no, we want a country where there is no corruption, we want a country where there is respect for the rule of law, we have solidarity from everywhere in the world. So the critics, those who are benefiting from the rogues, from the impunity of the regime, for them, theirs is shameful solidarity. For them, they are, when they are comfortable, they think that everyone else is comfortable. And after all, they are also victims. There is no one who is safe, because we have seen them also being murdered in cold blood.
Kakwenza Rukirabashaija is an avowed Ugandan government critic and a human rights activist. He spoke with me from here in Washington. Right now it's time for music from our African collection. Oh, yeah. Africa on the English service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Holvey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, no matter how sharp a knife is, it can never sharpen its own handle. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.